Mr. Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 839 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another great episode lined up for us. In today's episode, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out, we'll talk more about those free seeds later on in the show. I do once again want to cordially invite you to join us at the Dude Grows Growers Cup. That's right, June 1st in La Porte, Colorado, the Dude Grows crew is hosting the Dude Grows Growers Cup. The entire DGC crew will be there, the Irie Army will be there, and we all look forward to meeting you at the Dude Grows Growers Cup. Make sure you check dgccup.com for all of the information. As this episode comes out, that event is only 2 weeks away, so it is very close to being sold out. Make sure you get those tickets today. If you show up to the Dude Grows Cup wearing an Irie Genetics or Irie Army t-shirt, hoodie, or hat, I will give you a free gift. Make sure you stop by the booth and say hello and pick up that free gift. Also, if you're not wearing any Irie gear, Irie merch, don't be shy. Please come to the booth and say hello. If you'd like to meet me, shake my hand, say hello, share pictures of your grow, share some flowers that you grew, I would love to meet all of my friends at the Dude Grows Growers Cup. Stop by the booth. I will have a big booth. It will be very easy to find. I will be there. Mike will be there. Stop by and say hello. I look forward to meeting everybody. Sometimes my booth will be very busy. I will have a line. I'll have a lot of people in front of me. Please do not be shy. Stand in that line for a couple of minutes or simply come back when there's not a crowd and introduce yourself. I'm never too busy to shake hands, to meet the Irie Army, to meet the crew. That's what I'm there for. Don't message me the day after or the week after saying, hey bro, I saw you at the DGC Cup, wanted to say hi, but you looked busy. I am never too busy to shake your hand, give you a fist bump, give you a hug, take a picture, smell your weed. Stop by, introduce yourself. Like I said a moment ago, there may be a line, it may be busy, but if I see somebody standing there and they're starting to look anxious, like they want to meet me, like they want to talk to me, I do pay attention to that. I do try to speed up the line and try to get people coming and going so I can meet everybody. Don't be shy. Don't feel like you're bothering me. You're not. I will be more upset if you do not introduce yourself and tell me later that you chickened out, that you were too shy, than I would be if you just walk up, interrupt people, be awkward, come say hello. That's what I want. Meet me, shake my hand. That's what I'm there for, dude. I want to meet everybody in the crew. Also, we will have a bunch of great merchandise at the booth. Stop by the booth, see what we've got. Check out the menu. You may be surprised. There will be new things. There will be a lot of the classic things, and there will be some surprises. All right, that is the Dude Grows crew. We look forward to seeing you there. The next piece of advertising I've got before we jump into the question-answer portion of the show is there is currently a sale happening on iriedirect.com. That's right. For the entire month of May, I will be blowing out regular seed packs on iriedirect.com for ridiculous pricing. You can get a 10-pack of Light Ripper regular seeds for $10 right now at iriedirect.com. There are a lot of great steals and deals on the website. Make sure you check iriedirect.com for current pricing and inventory. All right, that is all of the advertising for the start of the show here. Let's work our way into the pet peeve portion of the podcast. I'm sure most of you understand what a pet peeve is. A pet peeve is something that just simply drives you crazy. I like to focus on grow room pet peeves, something that I see in a grow room, whether it's a commercial grow, whether it's a private grow, maybe I saw it online, or perhaps it could be a cannabis community pet peeve, something that just simply drives me crazy. I have been encouraging you, the listeners and viewers, to send in your pet peeves. You can email me at growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Simply put the word pet peeve in the subject line so I can find it. If I do read your pet peeve here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds off of iriedirect.com. Today's pet peeve came from my friend Patio Toker. Big shout out to my buddy Patio Toker. I've seen you on the Discord. You've been around for quite a while, so it's great to get an opportunity to send you a coupon code for free seeds. Patio Toker's pet peeve says, my pet peeve is undefoliated plants. We're talking plants that have never been touched. Okay, that is a very valid pet peeve. And what he means is defoliation is when you go in and take off some of the larger leaves. I recommend it. I suggest it. I almost demand it be done in a commercial grow environment when there's a lot of foliage, a lot of leaf happening in the room. I find that taking off those leaves can mitigate a lot of problems. But Patio Toker's big pet peeve is that he does not like plants that have not been defoliated. That big 70s bush of a plant with all those leaves growing in there simply drives you crazy. I can understand that. However, let me tell you a little bit of a story. I recently ran a grow room, and in that grow, I was struggling to keep the humidity up. I was not going to buy a humidifier for one grow. It was a short grow process at a weird part of the year. I had switched equipment. I had switched the way that I was running my ducting. I was struggling to keep the humidity right in this grow space. My smart idea was to defoliate less than I usually do. I left the leaves on those plants to allow them to transpire and put moisture into the air. All of those leaves were releasing more moisture into my environment and contributing to the humidity because I actually needed that in that grow space. So most of the time you are correct. All of that 70s bush, all that extra foliage, all those leaves are good opportunities for powdery mildew. It's a good place for bugs to hide. It blocks light from your bud sites. There is great reason to defoliate, but in this situation, my room was getting so dry that I just chose to leave a bunch of leaves on the plant. And honestly, it brought it up just a few percent just to keep that room where I needed it. I could water heavily. The water in the plants would raise the humidity just a little bit. Then all of that evaporation from the plants helped. But then also all those leaves letting out all that water from the stoma, that definitely helped me increase the humidity in the grow space. So I do understand that a lot of times that could be not visually appealing. It's probably not best for the growth of the room in most environments, in most occasions. However, this one time in my grow space, I tried a trick and it did exactly what I needed done. So sometimes these pet peeves are going to be subjective. Sometimes we've got to think about, and this goes for the internet and advice on the internet as a whole. If you see advice, if you see some guidance, that may work in a certain situation, in a certain environment, in a certain room, but we don't always know what all the situations in somebody's grow space may be. I was struggling to keep my humidity up because I had readjusted my ducting, I'd made some changes, and I was not going to buy a humidifier simply for, it was about 40 days worth of growth that I would have needed that humidifier, wasn't going to spend the money on it. Maybe I'm a cheap ass, maybe I'm efficient, maybe I'm economical, but my idea did work. What I'm getting at is there's more than one way to skin a cat, and sometimes the things that we see in a grow that look like a problem are actually a solution. So we've got to be open-minded. You've got to be kind of a MacGyver in a grow space. You've got to be able to adjust and adapt, and you've got to be very open-minded. I think I said that, but if I would have been super stubborn and said, no, I have to defoliate because that's the way I operate, that's my SOP, I actually would have fucked up that crop. I think it did much better because I left a bunch of leaf on those plants. So my dude, Patio Toker, 75 or 85% of the time, I do agree with you, defoliate those damn plants. But occasionally, like in my instance, those leaves contributed to a little extra humidity and allowed me to increase the humidity. The overall VPD in the room was improved because of that extra 70s bush. My dude, I'm still going to send you a free pack of seeds, even though I don't 100% agree with you. This was a great peeve. I like that it's subjective, and I like being able to talk about things that we slightly disagree on, although we do agree 85% of the time. All right, my dude, check your email because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of Irie Genetics premium seeds. All right, let's keep this show moving. Now we're going to work our way into the question and answer portion of today's podcast. I have a website. That website is called iriegenetics.com. It is I-R-I-E genetics.com. Irie, it's a patois or a Jamaican word. Irie means to feel the best you can feel, to feel blessed, to feel at ease. There are many ways I could use to describe it. You ever been sitting maybe on the beach? Probably at the beach, just a little bit of sun coming down on you. You're looking out at the ocean. You're watching the waves crash. There's a little bit of breeze moving your hair, but it's not uncomfortable. It's just nice, a nice breeze just moving the hair. Maybe you got your lady with you, your dude with you. Maybe you've got your dog with you. Maybe it's your best friend. Perhaps it's your child with you. Maybe you're all by your damn self, but maybe you're out there smoking a little bit of a joint and you just got this feeling. Everything just feels good. Nothing is wrong. Nothing could bother you. Just feel good. That's feeling Irie. I feel blessed. I feel powerful. I feel at ease. I feel peaceful. I'm watching the ocean do its waves. I'm feeling the breeze in my hair. I feel the sunshine on my skin. Smoking a little spliff. I got some love next to me, no matter who it is. That is the feeling of being Irie. or when there's music playing and you're at a concert and you got your hands up and everybody's vibing together, that is the feeling of feeling Irie. That's why I choose the word Irie to represent my genetics. There's not much better than feeling Irie. That is a good feeling. So IrieGenetics.com, I got off on a good ramble there. Thank you for that. Go to that website, IrieGenetics.com. There's a list of tabs on the top of that website. One of those tabs says Grow Help. That's pretty obvious. If you need Grow Help, click on that tab. We give you the opportunity to ask us a grow question. Send me your grow question. If I read your question from that grow help tab here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Today's first question came from a person who wants to be called Ganjaman. Welcome to the party, Ganjaman. Thank you for the question. By your real name, I know who you are. You've been around for a while, so thank you for the support. The question says, hey, Rasta Jeff, I hope you are having a wonderful time. Bro, just like I said, everything Irie. It says, I am messaging here to ask about your breeding setup. It would be nice for a tour one day on YouTube if possible. You know, I really enjoy showing you guys my garden and my plants and my setups and things, but I'm sure you've noticed, or maybe you haven't, I've definitely noticed, and YouTube notices, every time I show a ganja plant in one of my videos, YouTube takes down my video. So I'm allowed to show you my face, my shirt, and this fucking curtain behind me, but that's about all you get. Because if I put plants up on the screen, YouTube takes my video down immediately, and then they send me a community guidelines strike, and if I get too many of those, they take away the channel. So unfortunately, I am not comfortable showing my grow spaces or plants on this channel. I did a very good topping video about topping our plants. I put a plant on the table and showed you where to top it, and YouTube took that down. It got a couple thousand views, and then YouTube took it down. Also, I took that top and showed you how to make a clone out of it in another video. YouTube took that one down also. Those are the two videos I've attempted to bring plants into the studio and do hands-on work with them, and then YouTube took it down. So unfortunately, I'm not comfortable doing a tour. That'd be super cool. It'd be really fun. Maybe a Patreon-only bonus or something, but right now it's not anything that I've got lined up, but it's a good idea now that I just said it. Hey, Rasta Jeff, when you're editing this, write down the idea of doing a Patreon-only Grow Room tour episode. Don't edit that part out so the people can hear about it. All right. It says a tour would be cool one day if possible. I doubt it, but maybe on Patreon. It goes on, though. It says, I'm looking to start breeding my own genetics so that I can keep strains that are no longer being produced and sold and make my crosses of my own. All right. That's a really good idea. Preservation is key, especially with the possibility of the DEA changing scheduling on our favorite plant. It may be much harder to acquire seeds in the future. We will talk about that as time goes on, as things change. I've promised to keep you updated on that. It says, I've got a few questions on the subject. You have come to the right place, my friend. I do enjoy breeding questions. It says, do you keep your male plants in of different strains in the same tent and all of your female plants in one tent in a separate room? Or can you keep them in one bedroom all together with no worries of pollen since they are in veg? So I keep my, I call them father plants. All the boys that I have selected are fathers. All the female plants I've selected are mother plants. So mothers and fathers are all kept in the same space during their mother and father cycle. This is just where I keep the plants just to have the genetics on storage. It's my stable, my preserve, if you will. I'm able to keep all of those plants in the same room and the same space because, like you said, they are in veg. You will not have any pollen present until several days into flower unless you make a mistake. Sometimes your male plants, if they get root bound, if they don't get enough light, if they get underfed, if they just start getting pissy in general for any reason, sometimes those plants will begin to go into flower and start dumping pollen for no reason, but you should see that way ahead of time. So you can keep your father and mother plants and your veg plants and your clones and your seedlings, for that matter, basically all in the mother room and the father room and the stable, if you will. Keep them all in that environment. I recommend at least 18 hours of light. I honestly do 19 on and 5 off. Why do I do that? Because some of the more, like I said a moment ago, some of the more sativa dominant plants, the more tropical varietals, the haze varietals, some of those will try to flower if you give them too much dark time, if they're a little bit root bound, if they're getting underfed, if they get overwatered. Sometimes those plants, just a few things, will trigger those boys to try to go into flower. I cannot have that happen, because once they start going into flower, it's really hard to turn a male back around. Once he gets started, he really wants to go. So I will keep those on 19 hours on and 5 hours off in my mother area to keep healthy growth and prevent those plants from going into flower. So you can keep all those plants in the same room. I would adjust that timer to 19 on, 5 off, and then feed these plants. They're going to need a heavy vegetative diet. They basically need just the grow bottle for the most part. If you've got that base nutrient, the grow A, grow B, that's probably what they're going to need. They may need, I would feed them microbes, of course. They may need a few other things based on how big and how old they are, but keep an eye on them. It's real easy to feed mother plants, very easy. Give them a basic vegetative nutrient mix. I've been talking about that light spectrum. I try to go 19 hours on and 5 off. Sometimes I will reduce the intensity of the light in my mother area. I don't need these plants growing super quickly. I don't need them getting really big very quickly. I just need them to simply be healthy and exist so that when I do need cuts, they are there and available. So I kind of turn the lights down a little bit on these plants to slow the growth. I've noticed if I've got the plant, the lights boosted up all the way, they grow too quickly for me. I have to top them. I have to defoliate them too much. I just simply reduce the lights and they grow beautifully. They grow just fine for the way that I need them. Now, there is another part to this question. It says, do you keep males of the same strains in the same tent? Yes, because there is no pollen at this time. As soon as you start making pollen, everything must be separated, which is the next question. So let's move on to that. It says, can you still grow a seedless crop in the same house when breeding? I definitely don't want to pollinate and seed my medicine. And okay, so we're going to talk about that first. Breeding in a location where you're also growing and hoping to have Sensimilia buds. This is an art. I've figured this art out. It took me a while. Full disclosure, we could talk about it now because it's not happening. But I used to have a grow in my office is right over there. Where I edit this show is just a room over on the other side of that wall. That used to be a grow space on the other, in that office where you guys all see me hang out on Discord and shit. That used to be a grow space with 2 5x5 tents and a 3x3 tent in there. I'd put the boy plants in the 3x3 and then use both 5x5s on opposite schedules. One ran 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and the other one ran 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. That way I could maximize the electricity in that room, but not have to do any upgrades to the electrical. I had a 1,000-watt light running at all times, and then I had a little 400 light running for my boy plants. And then that boy, he only had to be on certain hours, so he would take a break. But every 12 hours, tent A would be on, and then every 12 hours, tent B would be on. So I was always running a 1,000-watt light in there, but only one at a time, running two flowering cycles. Very, very efficient. In that room, I was breeding. A lot of your favorite strains that I made came from that room in there when it used to be a grow space. It's not a grow space anymore. I had to make some adjustments, you guys. I was trying to, the numbers got changed here in Colorado. We used to be allowed to grow so many more plants. Now we cannot. That was a wasted grow space. Turn it into an office. But that was a grow space up there. That room had pollen in it all the freaking time. I have another grow space that was in the basement. It was directly below that room. There's another room, basically a mirror of that office in the basement of the house they were in. And that was where my main grow space was. I was able to breed plants upstairs in those two tents and not contaminate and seed the grow that I had downstairs. And it took a few tricks to figure it out. But the main thing that I learned, and here's a golden piece of advice. If you're a breeder, if you're thinking about breeding, this is going to be one of those episodes. And this is going to be one of the things you want to write down or record or take a note of. One thing that I really found important that really helped me out breeding seeds and growing Sensi crops in the same house is timing. All it's about is timing. If you've got a plant upstairs dumping pollen, don't have other plants downstairs in flower. Have those in veg. As soon as you chop down that male plant and clean up the pollen, put that other room downstairs in flower. You've only got pollen around for about 21 days if you do it properly, maybe up to 25, 28 days. You really don't need pollen around for that long. Most of your plants are going to get hit by pollen by day 30. So what I would recommend, have your breeding room. Get your breeding room going. Put those plants. Don't have another room in flower. So let me back up a step. Harvest your Sensimilia room. The room you don't want seeds in, harvest it. Right before you harvest that, you need to have another room in flower that you want to breed, or in veg that you want to breed in. So harvest your seedless crop while you've got another room vegging that you plan to breed in. As soon as you harvest, flip that other crop to flower. In about 14 days, you'll start seeing the boys. About 21 days, you'll chuck pollen. By day 25, 28, pollen has been chucked. Cut down that male plant. You should have another room in veg downstairs already that is ready to flower. By the time that crop gets about 30, 45 days in, then flip the other room. As long as these plants downstairs are not in flower, if they're in veg, they cannot receive pollen. So you have no stress, no worries, no fear, no risk of pollinating that crop as long as it stays in veg. So you can't have both of them in flower at the same time, but it's just a very short juggle there. So I would do a flower crop with no seeds in one room and then a seeded crop in one room right after that. And then back to back, we do flower, seed, flower, seed. And as long as you clean up properly between runs, you won't have any contamination. So it's all about setting the rhythm. Have this room, in the one you want to seed, have it in veg while your flower room is growing. Harvest your flowers. Put your breeding crop into flower immediately. Cut more clones for your other flowering room and get that filled up and have it in veg. Pollinate the breeding room. Clean up. By clean up, I mean cut down that boy plant, sweep up all the pollen, then spray everything with water. Water deactivates pollen. So I use a pump sprayer. It's a deck spray. It holds 2 gallons of water. I'll just fill that bad bitch up with water. I actually may put Push in there from Hydroponic Research. It's a veg bloom product. It's called Push. It's a foliar application. It's a great product. Put that Push in there, shake that up, spray every single plant. Also spray the walls, spray everything down just to kill any pollen that may be in that room. I'll do that a couple of times. I'll go in there and spray water a couple of times just to make sure I've deactivated all of that pollen. Now, once I'm confident that all of the pollen is cleaned up, put that other room into flower. Now, those seeds will finish while your other room is starting to flower. You can harvest your seeds, and then your other scenti crop will finish, and it will be seedless if you do it properly and time it properly. It's all about timing. That is how I make it happen. That's how I made this house produce a lot of flowers and a lot of seeds at the same time. Unfortunately, since the new stupid rules in Colorado, I can't do that. I've got to either make seeds at one time or run a regular crop at one time or use other houses and facilities, which seems to be the trick. But very limited here, so we're not doing all that multiple room shit anymore. It's all about that rhythm. Just don't have your scenti crop in flower while you've got pollen in the air, and everything should work beautifully. Now, if you do insist on having that male plant in flower while you've got a crop in another room, like I said before, water deactivates pollen. Try to keep everything as far apart as possible. So one thing I recommend is if you can set it up with your ducting, wherever the male plants are kept, have that, or where your pollination room is, have that ventilation go out of your grow facility. If you can duct that outside, you may end up pollinating the outdoor people's grow if you're not careful. But I use a carbon filter, so I'm thinking most of my shit's getting caught in the filter. But try to duct that pollen out so that you don't accidentally contaminate the other rooms inside your grow facility. Water deactivates everything. If you leave that pollen room, I've got dreadlocks, dude, so there's pollen in my dreads, I'm sure of it. But try to wrap your dreads up in a hat. Try to wear a hat. If you can change clothes, if you could take a shower, I recommend that before going from room to room. But water will deactivate that pollen. If you need to go from room to room, I would say go spray the scenti room with water, then go do your stuff in the pollen room, then carry that water with you. And when you go back into the other room, spray it again. Spray yourself. Water will be your best friend in that situation. So I think that's the best I can answer you for that one. I told you how I did it. It's all about that rhythm. Don't have the seedless crop in flower when there's pollen, and only have the pollen plants or the pollinated plants in flower when you're ready to pollinate them. It seems to be the easiest way to do it. There's more, though. It says, can you use multiple males at once in the same house? I would not do that. Do not use multiple males. Just separate your breeding projects. Just time them out properly. It doesn't take as much time as you're thinking it does to breed seeds. You can chuck pollen and get that male out of there in 30 days. Then you just need to let those seeds finish up. Get the next male and the next crop going in another room and move them up there as soon as you harvest. And that would work beautifully. But I do not recommend two males at the same time. You're going to have a Maury Povich situation. That pollen is going to cross and get on different plants. It's not going to work the way that you want it to. Who knows who the baby daddy is at that point? It turns into a spring break situation. What precautions would you take to make sure you don't transfer pollen between tents? Water. Water, 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 and proper ventilation is the answer. Is a different bedroom needed entirely? I would do it in a completely different bedroom. I honestly did it in completely different sections of the house, upstairs and downstairs, put a nice barrier between there. They were actually, like I said before, the rooms were directly on top of and below each other, and the stairs are at the opposite end of the house. So I had to go all the way from one end to the other, then all the way back down to the other. So for Paulin to travel with me there, it was possible, but it was much more unlikely because it was such a distance. Is a different bedroom needed? Yes, I would say so. And showering and changing clothes, that is obvious. I think you should definitely do that to not move that pollen around. But like I'm saying, like the main thing to make this work here is just don't have plants you don't want seeded in flower when there's pollen, because the pistils are what receive pollen. Also, too late into flower, the plants won't receive pollen either. Once the pistils are all withered up and dry and brown, those plants are past their estrus, past their sexual reproductive stage. They cannot receive pollen at that point. So you could throw pollen at that point also and not have to worry about those plants. Let me make sure I got it. The end of it says, also, what happened to Jack the Ripper? Nothing happened to Jack the Ripper. I've still got a good Jack the Ripper male. I've got two Jack the Ripper females. They're just taking a little break. I've been, honestly, regular seeds do not sell. Making reg seeds right now doesn't seem to be a very wise move for the market, for the business, because 90% of my seed sales are feminized seeds. So making the Jack the Ripper seeds again, or more crosses of that, they'll probably most likely sit there on the shelf, which is why reg seeds are on sale on iRead Direct right now for $10 or $20 a pack. You can get a 10-pack of seeds for $10 at iRead Direct. Go take advantage of that sale. I'm trying to breathe life into the regular seed market, let people know that reg seeds are awesome, are popular, are viable. They should not be afraid, which is really funny because 10 years ago, we had to do the same thing with fem seeds. Everybody thought fems were problematic. They were afraid of them. We educated the masses, and now that's all that sells. People forgot about the regs. But Jack the Ripper is still around, ripping, jacking, chilling. It's in the grow space. I've got a mom. I've got two moms. I got a dude in there. They may do work in the future, but right now they're taking a break, and I'm focused on the feminized seeds. I've got a couple of great fem projects coming up. I'm going to make more Golden Goat crosses. There will be Grateful Dog crosses, but I've got a new plant that is gorgeous. I haven't talked too much about it. It needs to be bred with, so that is going to be a project in the near future. I am saying too much already. Let's move on. This one says, I really appreciate the advice. This will be super helpful. I wish you the best. My dude, Ganja Man, thank you for a good question. I love talking about breeding. I love talking about pollen. So this was a great question for both of us. My dude, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, I'm not sure how long we've been going, but we're going to jump into one more message anyway. This one is going to be a fun one. This one also came from the Grow Help tab on iregenetics.com. This one came from somebody who wants to be called Tilly. The question is, do you think it's worth it to try popping bag seeds and hope to cross each other and make new genetics? All right, that's a really good question. That's a multi-part question there. You were kind of putting the cart before the horse with this breeding part, but bag seed. What is a bag seed? Let's talk about that briefly. What is a bag seed? Bag seed is any seed that came from your bag of weed. Let's say you got a bag of purple Skittle Dicks, right? Because purple Skittle Dicks is going to be the new popular strain. You got this big bag of purple Skittle Dicks, right? You find seeds in there. Those are bag seed. Many people are going to say, I've got purple Skittle Dick seed. But guess what? You don't, because who knows what that seed came from? We know that the female portion of that plant was purple Skittle Dicks. Who was the pollen donor? Who the baby daddy? This is a Maury Povich situation. We don't know if that plant was self-pollinated. We don't know if that plant was pollinated by an intersex plant. We don't know if it was pollinated by a regular plant. We don't know who the baby daddy was. So that is simply labeled bag seed. It came from a bag. Now, are those worth growing? The answer to that is fuck yeah, dude. Grow that bag seed. That could be the most amazing plant on the planet, or also it could be pure garbage. Some of the most popular strains on the planet came from bag seed. Maybe you've heard of a little cross called Chem Dog. There's Chem 91, Chem D, there's Chem OG. There's more that I can't fucking think of off the top of my head. But the Chem Dog lineage, all of the Chem Dog lines came from bag seed. A guy bought a bag of weed. There were 13 seeds in it. He grew some of those. From there came that Chem 91, the Chem Sister, the Chem D. All of the major famous chem varietals came from bag seed. So you may have the next amazing line. Also, Girl Scout cookies is believed to have come from a cherry pie bag seed. It was a bag of cherry pie with the seed in there. I'm going to throw out my theory. I think it was a Packy Citral Kush that pollinated that cherry pie, just from some stories that I've heard. And that is what made the Girl Scout cookies. We will never know. But technically, Girl Scout cookies, from what we know, was bag seed. Also, Gorilla Glue and Golden Goat were accidents, which are technically bag seed. They weren't meant to happen. It was an accidental breeding project. Somebody's pollen got away in their grow room. They found seeds in their weed. Those two strains are two of the most popular strains on the market. So I would definitely grow out those bag seed. Do not sell them, trade them, or give them away. And if you do give them to anybody, make sure that grower knows that what they've got is not a reputable tested seed. They have got bag seeds. You could produce intersex plants. You could produce crazy fucking mutants. We don't know what's going to come from that. So be very open if you give that to anybody. I recommend you grow it. You may have, like I keep saying, you may have the next Girl Scout cookies. You could have the next Mac 1 on your hands. Who knows what you've got in there? Now, until you've grown this plant several times, you've beat the shit out of it, you've stress tested it, maybe you've let a couple of friends grow it in different environments, I would not breed with this plant until you have fully investigated this plant's potential. Is it intersex? If it shows any intersex traits, do not breed with it. If it shows you mutations or problems, do not breed with it. The entire point of breeding is to improve this plant. The entire point of breeding is to make plant A and plant B and put them together and make a plant that is better than both of those plants. If that is not possible, if that is not the outcome, abandon that project. Don't put a crappy hermaphroditic plant into a breeding project. That is not setting yourself up for success. That is setting yourself up for failure and not doing a service to the community or our plants. So let me get back to the notes and get myself back on track. Is it worth trying to pop bag seeds? The answer is fuck yeah, dude. Pop those, grow them, get a clone. Who knows what you've got? But in hopes to cross each other and make new genetics, I wouldn't breed to anything unless I have thoroughly stress tested it, grown it several times, identified its weaknesses, its pros, its cons, find out what pisses it off, find out what makes it happy. Most importantly, find out if there are any intersex traits. And then most importantly, is there a reason to breed with these plants? Are you just breeding them because you've got them? Oh, I got a boy, I got a girl, they're going to fuck. Or do you see traits in this plant? Is there a reason? Is there structure, vigor, flavor, aroma, color, leaf shape, flowering time, trichome density, internodal spacing, potency, pathogen resistance, pest resistance, drought resistance? Are there pros and cons to these plants? Are there reasons to make this plant worth breeding? Or are you just making them fuck because you got them? That's what I want to know. All right. I think I've answered this question pretty thoroughly. My friend Tilly, make sure you check your email because you have a coupon code for a free pack of Irie Genetics premium seeds. I want to hear from you guys out there. How do you feel about growing and breeding bag seed? Leave your comments in the comment section down below. Maybe, just maybe, I'll pick my favorite comment and you will get a coupon code for a free pack of seeds. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I do want to thank you once again for listening to episode 839 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, you know I would love to hear from you. The email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Send me your feedback, your hate mail, your constructive criticism, your positive feedback. I can handle it. Let me know what you're thinking. Also, make sure you check the website, iriegenetics.com. Everything you could possibly need is at iriegenetics.com. There's a link to the seeds at Irie Direct. There's a link to the merchandise. There's a link to the Discord server. And there's a link to the Patreon campaign. Come support the podcast on Patreon. Check out the free seed giveaways on Patreon. All right, my voice is running out. I feel like I'm rambling. I'm going to wrap up this podcast. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Random Hero. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and then I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, Pokemon, we relax. Oh.